All right, hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Cyberverse podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David. I can be your hero.
I can be your hero, baby.
He can take away the pain.
Yeah, I was trying to remember the lyrics to the song.
And yeah, just in time for a movie where Megatron is a good guy, at least for the start of the movie. I haven't actually seen it. Unlike, I believe, at least one of us here.
I was going to say, unlike, like, everybody else in the world, because, like, everyone seems to have seen it already, as we're recording.
I could have seen it a couple days ago when, like, they had the preview a week ahead of time.
Oh, but I thought you'd gone to see that.
No, like, it was, like, over an hour and a half drive to a town I've been to but don't really remember, so I don't know where the theater was, and I didn't want to fight with that shit. I was like, nah, I'll wait a week.
Well, if
I could just drive to the local theater.
If I didn't have my very specific personal reasons for waiting until the actual release day, I would have gone to see it on the 14th, but I did not do so because I'm not opening my presents early. I am an adult, and I can wait until my birthday to open my present, which is this movie that happens to be quite conveniently coming out on my birthday.
There you go. Yes, I'm going to see it.
Nobody has so far been spoiling it for us anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that there'll be any...
We have sequestered them into their own Discord.
I don't know there'll be any major plot events for people who are kind of familiar with Transformers already, but we will soon find out.
Kind of, yeah, probably not.
Yeah,
I mean, most likely it's just going to be, like, cameos and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, watch out for the Megatron guy. I think he might be a bad egg.
He might be trouble. Yeah, I mean, the spoilers at this point are really just, like, specific details. There's been some promotional stuff that's referred to it as an untold story, and it's like, is it though? It's been told a few times.
It kind of is untold in animated form. I mean, it's been told in comics a bunch and a couple books, but it hasn't really been delved. Prime, I think, is as close as we've gotten to really touching on that.
Yeah, I'm reading through those books.
And even that was sorta.
There are definitely some books with Transformers in them.
Maybe we're going to get a little of it in this very episode of Cyberverse. Megatron is my hero.
Yes.
First aired on TV October 6th, 2018. Written by Peter DeSico, who also is writing another episode that is coming up. And apparently is the guy who's writing that Nezha?
The Nezha
thing.
The Nezha, the Chinese series that might be out, might not be out.
Wait, the writing.
I figured that was being written by, like, Chinese people.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, all happening in China.
Seemingly not. I mean, maybe there's, like, they're writing it in the States and they're localizing it. I do not know, but he is attached to it, apparently.
That's peculiar.
Fascinating.
Yeah, and he also wrote for that CG animated Ninja Turtles series.
Okay.
The one that had the one that had like Sean Astin in it.
Oh, okay.
And Seth Green, I think, was Leonardo.
I guess like the Nezha stuff presumably would have been being written at the same time as Cyberverse.
Right.
So and it uses maybe the same character some models.
Pitches that were thrown in. It sort of makes sense, but also kind of doesn't. But almost nothing about Nezha makes any sense.
Like all of the toys showing up on Temu.
Yes.
Or the fact that it's Nezha instead of what seems to be a better known Journey to the West outside of China.
Mm-hmm.
Like, until like 2 years ago, I don't think I'd ever heard of Nezha. Or whenever, when the Transformers thing was there. And like that was the only instance until like last year. Last year I saw, like, a Chinese animated movie about an adorable cat named Hei. I think it was Hei. And Nezha is a minor character in that.
Huh.
Yeah, I was totally unfamiliar with Nezha previously.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
Cyberverse.
So, yeah, this episode... Yeah, so we open, and as seen in stuff going back to the old UK comics of the 80s, Megatron is indeed a gladiator. He's got the adulation of the crowd. Bumblebee is there, and as the title would imply, Megatron is his hero.
Yeah, I really like this part of this episode, because it's very much, Megatron is a professional wrestler. He's pontificating, like, after the fight, he's cutting a promo.
I was definitely feeling like, Megatron is like the Jesse Ventura, because, you know, he's a wrestler who then gets into politics.
Yeah.
If The Rock would actually run for something, like...
Well, he's not the only one. Kane has also gone into politics, but I think he was just a mayor. There's probably been a couple other wrestlers of note.
Oh, man, if his Decepticon philosophy is all based on, like, weird conspiracy theories...
I mean, it could be.
Also, if he was an actor in whatever the Cybertronian equivalent of Predator is...
Oh, that would be great.
Again, that just... I wish there was more instances of little nuggets of what is art and movies and media and music like on Cybertron.
Yeah, I would like to know more. I honestly, at this point, my personal thoughts on it are just that the war has stunted them culturally.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. Like the war, once the war happens, that shit's all fucked. All you're getting is news. That's the only thing which we get in, like, IDW and a bunch of other
things. All you're getting is news and propaganda.
Yeah, but, like, the golden age, the before times, there should be, like, who's archiving this media? Where is that?
I want to make that character.
Stupid episode of, like, a librarian about...
That's going to be my OC.
No, I have made that character. That is my OC. my little guy named Longshot, because it's a double pun. Uh-huh. He loves movies. Anyway,
to episode. we're back in Bumblebee's Mind Palace, and... Yeah, yes.
Is that going to be like every other episode that we start in a flashback and cut to Bumblebee?
I mean, I guess that's the titular Cyberverse, I guess. I think it's just this first season.
Title. Fuck.
I figured Cyberverse was just something that they made up, and I don't know. It was trademarkable.
Because it's Cyber, Cybertron, it's a new universe.
Well, yeah, but this is the closest thing to a Cyberverse in it.
Yeah, I guess that... It would be neat if they, like, name-dropped that then.
Yes.
Because, like, I didn't get it until you just made that offhand comment. It's like, oh, yeah, that's probably why it's called Cyberverse, but it does feel, like, retroactive.
But I think it's just this first season. I hope it's just this first season.
It is just this first season.
I kind of wouldn't mind if it crops up, like, once or twice in the next future seasons, but...
No.
Like, making it an entire season... I feel is a mistake.
Yes.
That we're in the middle of. Anyway.
So she has to, you know, convince him to go back into his mind palace to remember that Megatron...
To show that, Megatron should not be your hero.
Yeah, no, he actually sucks.
Yeah, he's actually terrible, Bumblebee. Mm-hmm. Come on.
And he's also, Megatron has lost that kind of weird Scottish accent he had a couple episodes ago.
I don't even remember.
Like, he had, like, a couple lines, and he had, like, a weird accent.
I guess, well, he
also, in my notes here, I have two consecutive lines say, Bumblebee is so dumb in this, like, genuinely brain damaged.
Yes.
I really appreciate Windblade's just absolute what the fuck Bumblebee when he says Megatron is his hero.
Since he has amnesia, it sort of makes sense. Like, I get the premise of this episode,
yes,
at least.
What the hell?
Frickin' Megatron.
Yeah, issuing correction on a previous memory of mine regarding the Decepticon leader Megatron, you do not, under any circumstances, gotta hand it to him. Anyway. So they go to a rally. We got a rally. He's gonna make Cybertron great again.
Yes, not quite those exact words, but real close to those words.
He's gonna use the people's fusion cannon.
Yeah. And also, here's the new emblem that we'll unite under, which is definitely not super evil looking.
Yeah, this is very much, this is how populism turns into fascism, so good job there.
I mean, the Decepticon logo isn't pure evil, it's very angular and aggressive, which, as a company sort of business movement logo, kind of works, but yet, I mean, it's not like it's red and black and white. Oh.
It's either that or it's a sports logo from the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta get some teal in there.
Gotta be edgy.
Anyway, so he's wondering, you know, could he really have brought Cybertron together? And he actually blew it apart. Kind of literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oops.
Oh, and so we get to see lots of background characters starting this episode.
We do get to see the background guys on the... I mean, a lot of them are just Seekers.
Yeah, like, yeah. 50% of them are Seekers, and there's some auto body car-ish dude. There's, like, two car models, yeah. Basically.
There's a rainbow of Seekers.
Then we get to see various people up at the front here. There's, you know, like Soundwaves there, and Starscream, RC, Ratchet.
Starscream.
Various guys. So we zip to another memory, and this time Optimus Prime and Bumblebee are going to Decepticon headquarters. And Prime is like, okay, well, this is the last time I'm going to try and see if I can make him stop being crazy.
Well, their headquarters is feels more like a dive bar.
Yeah.
It does. It's got big, like, yeah, dive bar energy.
It's like a disused warehouse or something.
Though this does have one of my favorite moments of this series.
Hmm.
Which is when they get in there and Shockwave turns around. And
angry eyebrow.
It's like a dramatic, like the groundhog. Like the dramatic groundhog
yeah.
thing.
Oh yeah, the music sting is odd.
But
yeah. And of course he is Mr. Angry Eyes.
Yeah.
Or Mr. Angry Eye.
I love his angry eyes. They took this face and they just added this one little trapezoidal shape to it, and it just completely changed everything. And I love it. But then he also just does this turn around just dramatically, and he's got the angry eyebrow.
Yeah, with the music, and he's welding two different Seekers together to make double header or something? What?
Yeah. Yep, he's pretty messed up.
He's doing mad science out in the open, dude. What?
Yes.
This is a great political rally. Or political office. Oh, at the beginning of the episode, Bumblebee and Shockwave high five.
Yes.
Yeah, at the event.
And I forget, was it his hand that becomes a gun, or is it the other hand?
I think it's the other hand.
Okay. Be funnier if it was like, oh, it was the gun hand. It is no longer a hand anymore. Oh, and I noticed, after that, because it's first some Seekers at the door, and then, what's her name?
Shadow Striker,
who gives Bumblebee an ugly look. And then it's Shockwave doing mad science. And then Starscream questions them, why the fuck are you guys here? And this is the point where I noticed the little vents on the top of Starscream's head look like cat ears.
Yes. Yes, they do. Cyberverse Starscream has a much more angular take on the traditional Starscream head, and the vents do kind of look like cat ears.
Yes.
I like it, but the cat ears are just a little weird, like... They could be less pointy.
No, it's perfect.
So, Megatron is just, we've tried negotiating, but instead we're declaring war on your people, the Autobots. So, we're not pals anymore.
Also, he does mention that Optimus was a file clerk, so we are back to the file clerking instead of...
Going war within here.
Yeah. Instead of the IDW, a cop. Though, I guess a cop can be a file clerk. It's just different files.
Or the Generation 1 dock worker.
Yes.
Which, stay tuned for that one.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of don't like the dock worker one. I prefer the file clerk, librarian sort of thing. Being a file clerk, cop sort of works. Being actual cop is, I don't like that.
Being like a desk cop.
Yeah, a desk cop works, because then he gets forced into all kinds of nonsense.
So, you know, we go forward a little more.
Is the confrontation between Optimus and Megatron there, which feels really short, is that when Optimus says, yes, we can?
I think so. Yes, because Prime isn't really in the next segment. Hmm.
Yeah, it's like, I forget what the prompt is from Megatron. Oh, no, it's like, can we fix the system from inside? And it's like, no, instead of using violence or whatever, it's like, Optimus is like, yes, we can.
Yeah. So we fast forward again. We're, you know, there's a real war for Cybertron going on. Uh-huh. Bumblebee is scouting Shockwave's lab. He's trying to interface with Vector Sigma because Megatron is going to use Vector Sigma to reprogram the AllSpark to create a new generation of Decepticons.
Oh, yeah, because
which does
Shockwave
kind of make me wonder about the whole, like, nature versus nurture Autobot Decepticon thing that always seems to be a question in these things as to whether they're, like, inherently one or it's a matter of choice, but
yeah, or
okay,
or maybe it's, oh, what was the IDW thing where Forged? Was it?
But that's not really an Autobot Decepticon difference. That's everybody is
no
made different ways, but they don't affect your
yeah. Which
well, I guess
that's the thing. I prefer that as opposed to like you're born Decepticon. That
if they were, made to order the constructed right. Cold Ones who were made yeah. for the war. Then they would be made as one or the other. So, I mean, that could be what he means, is that they are not inherently different, but they would be, you know, born and raised as Decepticons and
yeah.
given all of the appropriate propaganda from the moment of sentience.
Yeah, and Shockwave has his little shock drones or whatever the hell they're called, which look like...
I love his little shock drones.
Smaller versions of his alt mode, which is four legs and a gun.
It's very tarantulous shit. Of him.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, they're neat, but that's actually what his alt mode looks like. I don't like. Like he needs to either be a flying gun thing, or that weird roadster from Prime.
I am a little surprised when we get to this where tank. Bumblebee, you know, when there's fighting and Bumblebee is racing away from Starscream, that Starscream is not more of a tetrajet shape, but
yeah,
but it is. I mean, it's a neat it's Cybertronian stylized, jet mode, but it's not a tetrajet, which kind of surprises yeah. me.
Yeah, it just looks more like a funkified Earth vehicle as opposed to tetrajet-ish.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I guess they didn't want to have two models.
We're not trying too hard with the Cybertronian models here.
Yeah. No. Oh, I do like Starscream's line when he's chasing Bumblebee that calls him a dirt-kissing ground pounder.
Yeah, there is a lot of functionist trash talk going on here.
Mm. And yeah, we get an encounter with Shadow Striker here, who will be more important later.
Yeah, and she has two character models, one earlier in the episode and one now, where she's Frankenstein-y.
Yeah, she's increasingly Frankensteined.
It's like just girl lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Although I guess more than lockdown, because lockdown was sort of only mostly just slightly different colors. Part of his legs were a different design, but like it was only sort of kind of, whereas Shadow Striker's, like her arms are very clearly different.
Yes. So we, you know, he does get caught, and so Megatron decides that, you know, well, you're never going to be able to tell Optimus Prime what my plans are, because, yoink, goes the voice box.
Yeah, I guess it's okay that we're revisiting this again. Seriously, though, Bumblebee is deeply broken. He's just, like, he's super messed up.
It does say his voice box, but it more feels like, as that scene, like, it pans away from Megatron closing in on Bumblebee on his knees, more feels like Megatron's just gonna crush his head.
I mean, they do a very good job of communicating this as an act of unspeakable violence here. So, good job, question mark?
We're lining things up with the movie, sort of, kind of.
Yes. We are going sort of movie adjacent. Which, again, as I've said, I am ready to get past. I am ready for that to not ever come up again or be used in things with any regularity. But I guess at this point, they've already committed for this season.
Yes.
Yeah, for this season, it's fine. It works.
Here's hoping that's not how Transformers 1 ends.
Please, I swear to God.
Yeah, I'm going to throw out an empty popcorn bucket if that happens.
I'm going to the Alamo Draft House, so I may be throwing, like, an empty pizza plate or something. I will have had an actual meal in front of me to throw things from. Hmm.
All right.
And I'm not going to ask. I'm tempted to ask one of our, like, dozen friends who have seen it already, but I'm not going to ask.
Before we exit the episode, like it cuts back to B and Windblade inside his Cyberverse Mind Palace. And Bumblebee's just like, talk. I can still talk. Talk, 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 talk. And quietly in the background, Windblade says, shut up. Shut up.
I mean, relatable.
Yes. I was like, I thought that was just an odd little punchline for the episode. This was a good episode. I liked this one.
It's pretty good by Cyberverse standards.
Yeah.
I do wish it was like a double length episode in that it was a normal length episode.
Yeah, part of it's just hard to cover anything in any sort of depth when your episodes are 11 minutes long.
Right.
Because like the flashback of Megatron from wrestler to politician, you could have used another segment or three in there for that
The People's
arc.
Fusion canon.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, more of, like, because it's a fun thing in the comics that he went from wrestler to leader of an armed insurrection political movement. Mm-hmm. And it's really good, like, doing more of the promos, his wrestler or combat gladiatorial promos, turning into political promos, like recycling and changing messages. That would be fun, but it's like, we just got to get through this episode in 10 minutes. Like, But still, I did actually like this episode. This is the first episode I've actually liked.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it did, everything needed a little more room to breathe, but it was good. I guess I can grudgingly admit that this episode was okay.
Yes.
And now we have the G2 Cybernet Space Cube fly by to transition us to the next episode. Cube!
Where is the cube?
That's the name of my router. It's a Cybernet Space Cube.
The cube!
I feel like
that's the
you
name
can't...
of. Okay, my router's name is worse. You're never going to guess it, so I might as well say Megatron's ass.
You also live out in the middle of nowhere. I live in a town.
Yeah.
I just call mine the Tower of London.
Okay, that was a good one. But yeah, I live in the middle of nowhere. It doesn't matter. Also, like, if anyone passes by, it's like, what's ass?
You know, I can't actually hear any of my neighbors having sex, but I did see some joke online where someone named their Wi-Fi, I can hear you having sex. And that would be pretty funny, because you're just making everybody in the area paranoid.
Yeah, every once in a while I do run past an interesting one, because I usually use my phone on Wi-Fi only, so sometimes I'm checking for things, and I forget where it's like FBI van was one of the results.
That was my horrible, horrible last set of downstairs neighbors, because the guy was absolutely the kind of guy who thinks that's hilarious.
It's mildly amusing.
Yeah, my downstairs neighbors now just have, like, their initials and a random number, and it's very charming.
Yeah, random numbers, it's... I'll take anything that isn't just random numbers or the name of a printer.
But I do like the idea of changing it to I can hear you having sex just to make everybody paranoid, like, on the entire block.
Anyway, Cube.
So yeah, this episode is Cube. First aired on American TV, October 13th, 2018.
Oh, right. I started taking notes of what the symbols are in the episodes on Hasbro's upload.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Megatron is my hero, raised fist.
Uh-huh.
Cube, megaphone. I think it's supposed to be a megaphone.
I guess, sort of. It's supposed to be like
it's a weird emoji. I don't remember. It's like, why isn't it a cube?
It's supposed to be like a vuvuzela.
Maybe.
I don't know, but there's
cube
emojis.
I mean, I assume because it's a sporting event.
Cube. Yeah.
But it's not about the cube. It's about a sporting event.
I know, but cube.
I do feel like you can't just call something in Transformers a cube at this point and have it be something small like this. It's like having a Matrix, but it's just like some little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what are B and Windblade doing at the beginning of the episode?
Hanging out. Oh, yeah, they're going through stuff on the ship.
Yes. Like she's found like a weird cannon or something, and he has found a.
Oh, right, the gun.
She's had a cube, and he's just kind of like spinning it on his finger.
A cube made somehow of other cubes, like as many cubes are attached to cubes, and just spinning it and confusing me. And I've started playing Fez, a game about cubes and rotating cubes this week. So
it kind of reminds me of that like companion cube.
Yes, companion. It is very companion cube shaped without the little heart in the middle.
Yeah, it does have, it's like a cube, but then it has the additional cubes on the corners.
Yeah, which seems very unsafe.
It's fine. Yeah, I don't know how it moves in any kind of, I mean, I guess we learned that it's through AI, so it's smart. Hmm. Like, AI is not that smart.
Oh, and Cybertron. It's always weird, like, when Cybertronians have, like, little robots and AI bots and things, because, like, they're also robots. What is the difference between them other than a spark? Like, how do they measure that?
There will be more of that later this season.
I mean, they probably
think every once in a while I wonder, oh, this thing is, they say this thing is AI. Wait, did they just rip somebody's brain out? I wouldn't put that past them.
Of course, they probably say the same thing about humans. What's with these humans? They're animals, but they live with smaller animals in their houses.
Yeah. It's like
you different from a cat?
It's like the bit from the new DuckTales where the lady from the moon people is watching them feed some, like, domestic ducks. And it's just like, she just looks really confused.
Does Uncle Scrooge have to jump around on a cane while on the moon in that episode?
I don't think he gets to go to the moon. I think it's mostly just Della.
Damn.
I mean, it is, of course, the classic Pluto-Goofy paradox.
Yeah.
Yes.
But at least with Transformers, it's measurable since you can open their chest and see their spark.
I do also wonder if it's weird for them to have, like, spaceships that have like a ship computer that's AI, but then also spaceships who are people.
Yeah. Teletran. Well, Teletran seems very simple and like not that much AI. It's got a text to speech program glued into a base computer.
Right.
It's about on the level of like Whopper.
Yeah, it doesn't really take a lot of actions on its own.
Yeah.
Also, the Decepticons have Pong on their ship computer as a training game.
Yes. So, no, she reminds him that, oh, no, you actually love Cube, the famous sport of Cube.
Just the way she's talking about Cube just makes me think of the Log song.
Yeah. Cube, it's big,
log.
It's heavy, it's energon powered.
Maybe. You love Cube, Bumblebee. You know, Cube. Remember Cube from Cube? Everybody loves Cube.
We all love Cubert.
We all
don't
love
you remember
Cube.
Watching Cubert as a child?
It's just making me think of that Venture Brothers bit with the nozzle.
Yes.
Please do not be alarmed by the nozzle.
I mean, I get why they don't call it Cube Ball, because it's
Well, it's not a ball.
Cube shape.
But if, I don't know.
But, like, baseball, volleyball, basketball, usually there's a modifier of ball for
right.
the Earth.
Right, we're not just saying, oh yeah, I love ball.
Yeah.
Cube!
Like, it's so, battle cube, cube toss, something.
Cube 2, hypercube.
Yeah.
Yes. They're just big fans of the Canadian horror movie Cube.
Yeah. Hmm.
But hey, you know, hypercube, shock cube, something.
Blast cube,
enter cube, I don't know, something.
Cube.
Anything. So yeah, we flashback. We are indeed, Mowgli is attempting to get into the Cube World Championship.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the big game at the dome.
You know, the big game.
And of course, you know, you're not getting into one of these without a ticket. Unless, of course, you are Starscream, Dirge, and Ramjet, who are VIPs. And also heavily armed.
Yes. Yeah.
And the security officer, what the... He's sort of barricade-ish looking.
I was thinking kind of like, well, Ironhide-y.
Not movie barricade, but other barricade. Well, I guess. But like, his color scheme is like... newer versions of Barricade that aren't based up on movie Barricade.
Yeah, his color scheme actually kind of made me think of like Stakeout, the MicroMaster.
Yeah, I could see that.
Or a little bit, not the colors quite, but a little Getaway.
Okay.
With the, you know, like the gold face, but not quite exactly. He's just kind of a reasonably good-looking generic guy.
Yeah. Who gets used a lot in this episode.
But yes, Windblade...
That's the same as the Cube players, isn't it?
Windblade is with the Seekers as a visiting dignitary.
Yes, from Kaminus.
And Starscream assures her that we Jets are well taken care of as he goes through the VIP. And I'm sorry, that's functionism? It's not okay, Starscream. It's not okay.
We get our first Coneheads.
We do get some Coneheads.
Yes, we do get to see some Coneheads.
Ramjet and Dirge. Who look, well, just like Ramjet and Dirge. All, they sort of look like they got bandanas on their heads.
Yeah.
Other than that, they're very basic Ramjet and Dirge.
They don't quite have the full-on Pope hats of Generation 1.
Yeah, no, they're more like... Well, no, they're not even as big as the Coneheads from SNL.
Consume mass quantities. So Bumblebee tries to get in by making himself like a dwarf-shaped guy, which doesn't work.
Well, he's sort of squatting and trying to walk behind everyone else.
He's trying to hide in Windblade's shadow.
Yeah, hey, I'm just a little guy. I'm the birthday boy.
Would have worked if, A, there wasn't a security guard for you to bump into, and B, Starscream to turn around and point his gun at you.
Yeah.
It was not a great plan.
But hey, good news, he's found the mascot. Apparently a guy who is just the mascot for the game of Cube.
Yeah, you know.
Like, usually a mascot is for one of the teams, as opposed to the concept of the sport.
I mean, maybe he's like that NFL football robot.
Oh, you mean Cletus?
Yeah, I mean Cletus.
Spelled C-L-E-A-T-U-S, like cleats.
Does he transform into a football?
No, he's just a robot.
He's just a robot.
I don't know why he's on the broadcast, but he's just been there and we stopped asking questions.
Yeah.
He's still there?
Yeah.
I thought he started around the time of the Transformers movies.
Oh no, he's been there since like the 90s.
Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I could have sworn he didn't show up until the 2000s. Weird.
Yo, he's been around for a while. At least since they had that that cool theme music.
Well, that music's been around since the early 90s.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's always been CG, but I think he was very primitive CG at the beginning, and now he's... Yeah. I mean, I still don't understand why he's a robot, though. Like, why does your football coverage need a mascot? I don't get it.
Much like Windblade in this episode, I don't really understand sport.
But anyway, I guess, I mean, as a guy who's like cube shaped, I guess he's kind of like the cube equivalent of Mr. Met, who's a guy with a baseball for a head.
Okay.
Yeah.
And not to be confused with Mrs. Met, who is a lady with a baseball for a head, and who is also, as the internet has deemed, dummy thick.
Oh, no.
Wait, okay. I forget what Met looks like, but I have to Google something to show you.
Is it dummy thick?
It's Mrs. Met, isn't it?
Are you Googling dummy thick?
I'm Googling baseball mask from Go Ranger.
Oh, okay. It's some toku thing.
The very first Sentai series, all the bad guys were named something mask, gold mask, baseball mask, or whatever. A baseball mask is one of the goofiest ones ever that he keeps getting referenced into the future. Because he just loves baseball, and his head is a giant baseball.
I have just uncovered an article from CBS Sports, no less, of Mrs. Met's rear end, a photographic appreciation.
You? Oh, yeah, I guess Mr. Met sort of does look like his cousin.
Okay. Sure.
To answer the question that you're about to ask, Jen, no, the straights are not okay.
No, they're not. They're really not.
Miss Met.
It's not okay.
Why she got a dumpy, though? What the fuck?
Listen, as somebody who does watch baseball, I will say that a lot of baseball players do have prominent butts.
Okay.
Yes, I guess. From, like, the running and stuff.
Hmm. Well, I think, you know, that's where you get your hitting passes.
Yeah.
From the butt.
Twisting, spin. Sort of makes it just weird that it's so obvious on the mascot.
Well, that's because Mrs. Met is a little slimmer than Mr. Met.
Hmm. Anyway, weird digression.
And also, you know, you gotta have some padding on there in case, the team's not doing so hot and people start hucking pretzels at you.
Oh. Only pretzels, that's good.
And here come the pretzels.
So many things have been thrown in baseball at the field.
Anyway, so Bumblebee does indeed beat this guy up, takes his mascot, costume, and then gets thrown into his mascotting duties.
Oh no, now Bumblebee is the mascot.
Which seems to be just forced onto the field and standing on a little podium and dancing, kind of. And that
everybody
seems
thinks this is much more amusing than it actually is.
Yeah.
Like everyone in the episode.
Yes. Like, we've seen amusing mascot antics, but we're talking, this is definitely sub-gritty.
Some low level.
Yeah, no, he's not going anywhere near the dugouts or dancing with the players or anything.
No,
where are the cheerleaders?
I know, you need some mascot antics here, some googly eyes.
Actually, I'm kind of glad they didn't include cheerleaders. That probably would have gone badly. Here's a bunch of Alita 1 models doing dumb things.
Well, I will note that all the players here do appear to be male. As we've got Icon City versus Polyhex.
Yeah, they're all kind of Ironhide shaped.
Yeah.
Well, they're all the same model as the mascot and the security guy.
Hmm. Yeah, that's just the guy around here.
Now, the real mascot, I mean, I am somewhat, I'm thinking a little bit about the, I believe it was the San Francisco Giants mascot. Mm-hmm. That was Crazy Crab, who was intended as a parody of mascots and was legit and was deliberately terrible. So fans were encouraged to boo him, but unfortunately, they also took this as an encouragement to throw beer bottles and batteries at him.
Batteries, you know, as you do.
Why batteries? I've never understood that part. Why batteries?
I assume they had some batteries.
Sorry?
How do you have so many batteries at a ball game?
Well, see, you bring like a portable radio to listen to the commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just keep the batteries in there.
I guess?
I see. I'm just nodding. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anyway, the mascot quit when two of their own players, when two Padres players tackled him, and he got injured.
Oh.
I am, as you might say, a student of the sports mascot.
Apparently.
So this episode must have really spoken to you then.
It did. Like I said, that's why I needed better mascot antics. He's just dancing around. Not yeah. even in a particularly amusing way.
Valid criticism.
I need antics.
Yes. Nope. He's just doing his best. He's just Bumblebee being a dumbass.
Oh, I just found a video about the crab.
I mean, he's not even getting to the level of UP, the Montreal Expos mascot, who is, to date, the only mascot to ever be ejected from a game by the umpires.
Only, I'm shocked that's only happened once. I mean, I figure that would have happened in the early days all the time when they were starting using mascots. And the footage was still in black and white.
I mean, the real mascot didn't really emerge until, like, the 60s with, the, of course, the famous San Diego Chicken. And, and of course, the Philly Fanatic.
Yes.
Prior to that, mascots had often been actual live animals.
Oh, yeah, or just a guy in a, like, a period outfit or something.
And even now, I think a bunch
of...
How
is the Philly Fanatic never ejected? He's from Philly.
Well, that's the thing, though. He's always in Philly.
I guess.
I think a lot of universities and colleges still have, like, a bulldog or a horse or whatever.
Yeah. Or a bear cat.
I'm not exactly sure what a bear cat is.
What's the actual name? Bitterong, I think. It's sort of like a cross between a bear and a cat.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so there's a mascot fight here, although unfortunately it's not mascot versus mascot, or even up to the level of the scene in the 1994 action classic Sudden Death, in which Jean-Claude Van Damme has a death duel with the Pittsburgh Penguins mascot, Iceberg.
No, it's not that good.
I mean, nobody gets their head shoved into a deep fryer, so it's definitely not that good. Anyway, so Bumblebee ends up in the stands, and he sort of he gets kicked out, and he does talk to. This is where he meets Windblade, who says, you know, I'm from Kamenas, and you know, I kind of thought I'm hanging out with these jet guys because I'm also a jet, and also I have no idea what's going on here.
And those guys kind of seem like jerks.
Yes. So he's kind of like explaining what Cube is. So he gets kicked out again.
Because, again, he's not supposed to be there. He does not have a ticket.
But she's using her telepathic city speaker abilities to...
Which is really weird. Like, she goes full Jean Grey on him.
Yeah, I don't seem to recall that city speaker giving you the ability. I mean, this is the first time this concept had been translated to animation, I think. Yeah. Unless it's in that Combiner Wars machinima thing that everyone hated. That might also be in there.
I could not tell you.
I think that's mostly just talking to Metroplex. Normally it's the thing. You talk to the city that is a person.
Right.
And understand the city. Like, oh, there's a thing about how city... What is it? Geo something. Anyway, but no, it's not normally talking through the city. It's talking to the city.
Yes. Right. So he sneaks back in, and this time he finds out the Seekers are planning... They're bored with the match. They're planning to mess up the game by putting in an evil cube.
They hacked the cube.
Yes. Is that harder or easier than gleaming the cube?
I don't know. It's a good question that you would have to ask someone else.
Maybe Christian Slater.
Well, what is the cube's name? Is it Gibson?
Hack the Planet Man.
They hacked the Gibson. Yeah.
I just saw that. It was a true slice of 1994.
Oh, psychogeography. That's what I was trying to think of. Where, like, trying to understand a city by... trying to understand people living in a city by studying the city and the design of the city.
Ah, that's neat.
Yeah.
So he ends up taking a wild ride on this flying rogue cube, scores a goal, and soars right out of the stadium. But hey, Windblade's there, and you know, why don't we go get a drink or something?
Let's go hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course,
wait, which back of the- is weird after like a couple scenes, or well, there aren't many scenes in the episode. Like, Windblade says that she's no one's type.
No, she says she's not a type.
Oh,
nice. Yes. He says something like, you haven't seen your type around here or something. And she's like, I'm not a type. I'm Windblade. I don't know. I feel like Windblade has the patience of a saint.
Yes.
Maybe not the best decision making when it comes to who to invest time and hanging out with.
Well, switching from Starscream to Bumblebee sort of makes sense.
I mean, that is
even
a good choice,
Bumblebee,
yes.
Is basically like a townie at a football game.
It's the dumbest. The dumbest. Also, I do like that when the cube gets hacked, the announcer announces that the game has become atypical. That's like the one thing I noticed.
I mean, there's sort of an underserved gag here where it's like an AI announcer because it uses like question marks at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little
but
floating
I feel that we need to explain that because otherwise it kind of just looks like your actors didn't read the script. Anyway, so nobody actually remembers who won the game, but they do remember that Bumblebee had that wild ride on a crazy cube.
That's all that matters, is they remember that Bumblebee did something stupid.
Yes, and they're like, he's like, hey, why don't we play a route here, and then neither of them know what the rules are.
Yay!
And that's the end of that chapter.
End of that episode. So yeah, pretty great. I mean, again, I do like when there's like Cybertronian culture, but I do not care about sport, and I just did not care about this episode.
Yeah, no.
The last one was much better.
Yes.
I mean, I am I believe the sole sports fan here, but I needed a less superficial examination of this. I mean, this is the most generic possible space sport.
Yeah,
ever.
It needed a better kind of, name for it, maybe a little bit more explained rules, better mascot costume, something.
It's a little bit football, a little bit rugby, but there's a cube.
I feel like if you're going to have Transformers involved, you need to incorporate that in some way, like have it be something that involves alt modes and...
Yes, they're all ground vehicles. Is there a reason for that? Are you supposed to drive the ball or hit the ball or the cube?
Could be, yeah.
I mean, I hate to give her credit for anything, but that British fantasy writer who shall not be named did come up with a more sensical...
Ridiculous, but there were rules. Yes. Admittedly, this is for like a 10-minute episode, but like something more. The only clear rule that seemed to be existing was... If you hold the ball long enough, it'll glow and make you glow. I guess that's a point.
Yeah.
But like, there was no scoreboard or anything. It just give me some rip off the rules of some other sport in robot form.
Yes,
I needed some Cybertronian John Madden giving me the X's and O's here.
We needed a little more meat on the bones of this world building.
Oh, yeah. Crazy announcers. Even throwing in like two crazy announcers would have done a lot of heavy lifting.
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, I did like the little ball reading punctuation. But...
Yeah, give me like a robotic Bob Uecker or something.
Yeah.
Just a bit outside.
So we had one good episode this week and one meh episode.
That's right. But we will be back next week with more. More Transformers Cyberverse, but until then, are we taking a... are we heading off to Prismos this week?
No, not this time. I instead have taken on a bunch of extra cats, so
gotcha.
I did not have time to do the whole rundown, but...
Yay, cats.
Okay.
I will finish that at some point when I have time.
Well, this is a long-ass series, so there is no great rush.
Yes.
But we will be back next week with more Transformers Cyberverse. Until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iathonunderground.net, where we have a Patreon to set up. Oh my goodness, I can't words now. My brain got too sport, and now I can't word. We are hosted...
Just another citizen who isn't ready for some football.
Yeah. We are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is at patreon.com/iaconunderground. For the month of September, we have not gotten to recording it yet, so I can't drop any fun preview stuff, but we are watching... again, as I said with Transformers 1, it's a little bold that they occasionally refer to it as an untold story. We are going to go back to the first time it was told in G1 with War Dawn, which we are doing for my birthday because it also heavily involves my favorite boys, my best sons, the Aerobots. So we will be recording that this month for every month for as little as $1 a month. You can listen to our special episodes. They are super fun, just lots of stuff that doesn't fit in to the actual standard podcast. Things adjacent to movies coming out at the time or random other cartoons. We had the misfortune of watching that episode of that terrible Spider-Man cartoon with Deadpool in it.
Oof.
So yes, that is patreon.com/iaconunderground.
Somehow the worst Spider-Man cartoon we've watched, and we watched one that had Lisa Loeb in it.
Yeah,
it was worse than the MTV CG ones somehow.
Yeah, it was not what it needed to be.
It might have just been that episode, but that was a real bad episode.
It was a real standard.
I think that, I mean, it's not a good show. That one was unusually obnoxious.
Yeah.
And who am I kidding? The presence of Lisa Loeb is generally a plus.
This is true.
All right. So until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
The Cube!
Where's the Cube, boy?
Oh, Megatron wanted to play ball. He wanted to play ball with the little boy. Oh.